Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, your resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And this is episode 19, 1-9, coming at you live.
This is, we made it, we got a couple more games, and then we made it through a full season.
Made it through a full season, man. I guess on that note, thank you to everybody who's been continuing to listen week in and week out.
Yep, y'all who we're doing this for, we're doing it to... You know, let y'all know how we feel about everything going on.
Right.
We do this for y'all support, so that just want y'all to know that means the world to us.
Yep. And
appreciate it all.
Right. My fault. Shout out to everybody who's been commenting on TikTok. We appreciate the dialogue and the open conversations, even if we disagree, because I disagree with all of you saying that Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer. But I'll leave that alone. Let's get right into it, man. It's gonna be a hot one today.
Oh, I'm so glad. Okay, what? I know we would just say we were gonna start.
Go ahead.
But you mentioned that, and that reminded me of a question I wanted to ask you.
Go ahead.
So, do you think Matthew Stafford is a Hall of Famer?
Oh, that is the question, isn't it? Is Matthew Stafford a Hall of Famer? Is Matthew Stafford a Hall of Famer? I'm going to say, do I think he's a Hall of Famer? No. Do I think he'll get in? Probably.
Do you think, what would he need?
He would definitely need another Super Bowl.
And so then he'd be Eli Manning.
I think Matthew Stafford was a better quarterback than I think he has had a better career than Eli Manning. Like, well, if you take away the Super Bowls.
Well, you know me. I'm a numbers guy.
I know you're a numbers guy. What are the numbers? Identical?
Yeah. Like, they're right in front and behind each other in all the all-time stats. And Eli has, like, one more Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, look.
I think, in my opinion, they're equal. They're right at the same. So, either they both are or they both aren't.
I mean, they both probably will be Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think they're Hall of Famers? No, but will they both probably get in? Yeah, I mean, Eli's going to get in. Will Matthew Stafford get in? Probably. That Super Bowl ring, I mean, after the Rams won, man, they was boosting him up like crazy. So, yeah, he'll probably get in. That's a good question, though.
Yeah, I forgot what made me think of that, but it was because I knew we had already had our conversation about Eli Manning being, and then once I just compared the two and saw how they – how they did throughout their careers, I was like, man, this is the same guy almost.
Yeah. Now, that's a good question. I mean, you know, the trade to the Rams, that boosted him because he won off that trade.
Right.
So, you know, that talk's been floating around ever since they won the chip back in L.A. But literally right before we started recording, you brought up a tweet by a Marcus Mosher.
Yes, he is a
Cowboys fan. I'm sure y'all probably know who that is.
He has 83,000 followers on Twitter.
And okay, he's decently well known.
I've seen him with some verified tweets when it comes to Cowboys football and stuff.
Right, and you have a feeling about a tweet he sent out today. Yes. Was it today?
Yeah, this was 7:25 a.m.
Oh, this was this morning.
I quoted it at 7:40 a.m.
What did you say? Well, read the tweet first.
So, yeah, it's a two-part tweet. So, the first part of the tweet is, the number one need for the Cowboys this offseason is to find a running mate for CeeDee Lamb. Agree 1,000%.
Okay.
Couldn't agree more.
Right.
Second part of the tweet, Dak Prescott isn't Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen. He needs top-end weapons to make a Super Bowl run. Now, with that... My question to that is, what Super Bowl run do either of them have that proves they can do this and Dak cannot?
as I responded off air, and I'll repeat on air, we've seen them make deeper playoff runs. Now, I mean, have either one of them made a Super Bowl yet? No. But we've seen them knock on the door.
They've each made it one round farther, so they've had farther playoff runs by one round.
Yes.
Lost said game in each round.
Yes.
And neither of them had to do much to get to said round. Josh Allen specifically. I don't know how he beat Lamar's team without Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
In his one AFC champion. So you're telling me because he has one AFC championship where he played Tyler Huntley, one AFC championship appearance where he played Tyler Huntley to get there.
Yeah.
That's what tells you in his entire career where he's never done anything else that he can make a Super Bowl run without top-end weapons.
That's not the only thing that's told me that. As I've said before, and again, you're gonna poo-poo on me for saying this, but like when I watch Lamar Jackson, when I watch Josh Allen, they are a tier or two above Dak Prescott in my eyes. Like watching them play the quarterback position, they are a tier or two above Dak Prescott to me, and probably to Marcus Mosher, to a lot of people. I believe in Lamar Jackson. Like I don't think Dak Prescott can carry a team. I think Lamar Jackson can't. Really, let's be honest. Up until this year, Lamar Jackson has carried the Baltimore Ravens. Like, his offense hasn't been spectacular. He's been the offense, right? That's a fair statement, yes?
That's a fair statement. His team hasn't been terrible.
No. But I'm saying, like, Lamar, we both agreed on this before. Lamar's best, like, group of weapons he's had has been this season, yes?
Yes.
Okay. So that's what I'm saying. Up to this point, before this season, we've seen Lamar Jackson carry team after team after team deep into the playoffs. Yeah, he's got embarrassed. I'm not arguing that.
We have not seen him carry a team deep into the playoffs.
We've seen him make it to the AFC Championship game. That's deep in the playoffs.
That was last year.
So have we seen him do it?
That was – what did they
– they lost. I didn't say they didn't lose, but did we see him do it?
They saw him up in, before last year. We had not seen him do it. And last year was – after getting the, they won one playoff game.
Who do you, okay, see, because this is going to go back to the same question I asked you a while ago. Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, rank those quarterbacks in 1-3.
Equal. They'll do the same thing.
See, that's crazy. Weapon, see, okay, here we go again. I can't do that, bro.
The tweet, not a single, they all three have the same amount of Super Bowl runs. He needs top end weapons to make a Super Bowl run. That statement applies to everyone not named Patrick Mahomes. Look at even the players who have actually made Super Bowl runs. Joe Burrow, did he not have top end weapons? Jalen Hurts, when he went to the Super Bowl, did he not have top end weapons?
Yes. Multiple. But Joe Burrow didn't have an O-line to save his life.
That's not what the tweet's about.
No, that's not. But, hey, hold on. I've said it before, and I'll say this again. One of the biggest weapons a quarterback can have is a solid O-line. I don't care. Yes, Joe Burrow had T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. I'm not arguing that. But he was still running for his life. Let's not act like Joe Burrow was just sitting back there. The man got sacked 9 times in the AFC Championship game, dog. I'm sorry. You're not going to let me live that down. I'm sorry. And Jalen Hurts,
like Sam Darnold in this game, how many times?
He got sacked 9 times.
And those were not all because his offensive line was bad.
No, they were not. But
I said that then. I said that was not Joe Burrow's fake sacks because he sits in the pocket. And
you are not going to sit here and tell me that the Bengals, it has not been their fault. They have not been doing him criminally wrong with the O-line they try to put out there on a season-by-season basis.
I don't think they've been – they're not that good of an O-line. But I'm saying specifically him taking as many sacks as he does is not only because they're that not good of an O-line.
It's not only because of it, but I'm telling you right now, I'm going to say it. Watching the Bengals, majority of Joe Burrow's run, it is majority because he's had a bad O-line. It ain't like he's just holding the ball too long. Like, I'll say, Jalen Hurts, he holds the ball too long sometimes. Sam Darnold, he held the ball too long a lot last night. Or not last night, but Monday night. He held the ball a lot.
I think most quarterbacks would rather have Sam or Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison,
yes,
then a whole bunch of linemen.
No, I'm not arguing that. I mean, yes, but you need a good old line because you can have Justin Jefferson, you could have CeeDee Lamb, you could have Jordan Addison, you could have AJ Brown, you could have whoever you want. It don't matter if you don't got time to get them the ball. It doesn't matter, right?
Bet
365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Got to rebuild the O-line this year.
I agree. I'm just saying in terms of... the weapons to get the ball to.
Yes,
you're not gonna do it. You damn sure aren't gonna get. We've seen people make us. We've seen Super Bowl runs with bad O line play.
Yes, we have.
We haven't seen Super Bowl runs without top end.
That's why.
Even Lamar Jackson, like that's Lamar Jackson. He's had the worst weapons out of all of who we named,
right?
And he has the worst playoff record.
So let me ask something: if Josh Allen makes the Super Bowl this year, because he doesn't have no one's going to say he has top flight weapons, right? Not this year.
That's what will actually get him put on Patrick Mahomes' level, doing things then that Patrick Mahomes done.
Then you will put him over Dak.
Yes,
you'll put Josh Allen over Dak.
And whoever, if these quarterbacks can actually make Super Bowl runs,
right?
And then I would give them I would give them credit
right.
for doing these things. They
but specifically
said
Josh Allen because
done.
He doesn't have top end. He doesn't have a top end receiver this year, right? Like
I don't think neither does Lamar.
I mean, he has a Pro Bowl receiver.
Zay Flowers is he's really good. If they had
Lamar, definitely has the best group of receivers he's ever had. Rashad Bateman's finally coming into his own. Zay Flowers is a Pro Bowler. Mark Andrews is a Pro Bowl tight end. He's had Mark Andrews, but he has Derrick Henry, right? Like, this is the best offensive group of weapons Lamar Jackson has had. Josh Allen, on the other hand, yeah, you got James Cook, 1,000-yard rusher. That's nice. But aside from that,
he's also leading the league in like running back touchdowns.
James Cook?
Yeah, I believe that. I don't know if he's first, but
I think he has like 16.
He's like second or third.
No, James Cook's had a really good year. But
his wide receivers are definitely not the
His leading receiver is Khalil Shakir. Like who?
I think it would all come down to the context. If he beats a healthy Lamar, who do they play this week?
Play Baltimore.
He beats them in the AFC Championship. I think Baltimore will win.
In Buffalo, because it's in Buffalo.
Yeah, I think Baltimore will win.
I think Baltimore should win, but I think it's going to be a toss-up. I'm not going to lie to you. It's going to be a really good game. Like, I can't wait. It's going to be a really good game.
Right. But it's like you beat Lamar Jackson and a healthy Ravens team, get to the AFC Championship, beat Patrick Mahomes, and get to the Super Bowl. Yes, you can't deny that. What I have a problem with is when, no offense to Jalen Hurts, but when you beat Daniel Jones, Christian McCaffrey at quarterback, and then you're just giving credit for Bowl run as a quarterback.
I will say this. Jalen Hurts, he needs A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. I'm not saying he doesn't. I didn't say he doesn't.
No, I think every quarterback needs A.J. Brown and Devontae
I see.
Smith.
I won't even say that. I think here's the thing, right? Tom Brady. Tom Brady never – he had Randy Moss for 1 year.
Well, I don't. Right. I put him in that Patrick Mahomes.
Comparable
stats.
Me and you, we view quarterbacks a little bit differently. I feel like I've seen Josh Allen play at his best, and I feel like his best is better than Dak Prescott's. I feel like Lamar Jackson's best is better than Dak Prescott's. I feel like their best, Joe Burrow, same deal. I feel like their best. It doesn't matter. Not necessarily. It doesn't matter, but like. Who they have out there catching the ball, it matters less. With Dak Prescott, I don't feel like I've seen him make all the plays necessary to win when it matters.
In
the playoffs, have we seen that?
Dak Prescott, at his best, has played a better playoff game than any of those guys you just named. You want to know why? What will happen when I bring it up? I'll bring up his game against retiring Tom Brady against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Uh-huh.
And people will say, oh, well, they were just 8-9. They had a, so now who they play in the playoffs then matters. Because I agree. But that's what I'm telling you. His best is only having a score. Like, if Dak Prescott could have the luxury of his defense holding a team to a touchdown,
uh-huh,
he would never lose a playoff game.
Who was it? The Steelers. It was the Steelers. There was a stat like Mike Tomlin, like the Steelers' last six playoff losses, the defense has given up an average of like 38 points.
Impossible to win that way.
Right. This is just going to come down to innately, like, and whether you want to admit it or not, you believe in your QB a little bit. Like, and that's okay. Like, you should. I don't.
The eye test.
I know you don't. Just, I know.
It's because, like, right now, I'm seeing the Dak Prescott hasn't played a game in months.
Yes.
I'm seeing there are people compare, like, Jordan Love. I just saw Jordan Love being compared to Dak Prescott. In terms of,
Did you see that? Is that what people are doing?
They're saying, oh, like, he turned into Dak Prescott because he lost in the playoffs.
Right? Right.
What I don't believe in the eye test is because there's too much bias. Like, the amount of hate Dak Prescott gets simply for being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible for him to be in anybody's eye test.
Right.
Because, like, for the Cowboys quarterback to be Patrick Mahomes would have to come that's exactly it. The Cowboys quarterback,
yes,
Dak Prescott specifically,
yes,
is the only quarterback who would actually have to have a Super Bowl run,
yes,
for them to be like,
give him some respect.
He could go on a Super Bowl run,
yeah.
When other quarterbacks like Dak Prescott have never gone on a Super Bowl run,
yes,
but for some reason have said, oh, this might be the year. What's the difference of me saying, oh, this might be the year Dak goes on a Super Bowl run, and somebody saying this might be the year Lamar goes on a Super Bowl run, when both of them have two playoff wins?
I mean, there is no difference. It's just Lamar, dog. Like, we believe in Lamar. Lamar is about to be a three-time MVP. Like,
but that... When the Cowboys believe in stuff, it's delusional.
I didn't call you delusional, though.
But that's the consensus around Cowboys fans.
I do not think you're delusional. I get it. You believe in your guy. I believe in my guy. I get it. I just – and again, like, you know, me and you, we view quarterbacks a little bit differently. I don't believe Dak Prescott. I think it's a Patrick Mahomes – and then everybody else, but I think Dak Prescott is lower on that total poll. I mean, look, I get it, man. I get it. You haven't seen Lamar and Josh Allen do it, so why are we looking at Dak for not having done it yet? I get it. But again, like I said, man, people, like, we believe Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson are better quarterbacks, are better football players than Dak Prescott. And you don't have to agree with that, but that's just the consensus.
But the numbers don't agree with that.
What numbers?
Their statistics.
Like, for the careers?
Yes. Even their season-by-season numbers. And then, the only thing Josh Allen has done in this NFL that Dak Prescott has not done is make one AFC championship game, one conference championship game.
Uh-huh.
And I will say it a billion times, he played Tyler Huntley to get there. So that is quite literally the only thing that supports he's the better quarterback.
So you want people to stop putting Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen on that pedestal before Dak Prescott when none of them have done it? Is that what I'm taking away from this?
Yes, when they've not done. And Lamar, in his defense, he does have two MVPs.
He's about to have a third.
But again, know how I feel about that. The fact that him and Dak were in the one or two, and it's even a debate.
Yeah, but you can't take away, like, Dak Prescott was the MVP candidate. Cool. But you can't, like, negate
the fact that he's won two. Like, Lamar, like, okay, let me ask something. Who's the best player in the NFL right now? Like, right now, this season, right now.
This season, it's been Saquon Barkley.
So you put Saquon over Lamar Jackson? I wouldn't even do
that. I just think.
Okay, whatever. Saquon's your pick?
Lamar's been the best quarterback this season, for sure.
In my opinion, Lamar Jackson has been the best football player. But have you ever honestly?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Honestly, felt like Dak Prescott has been the best football player in the league since he's been in the league.
Last season, he was the best football player in the NFL.
Okay,
he led the league in touchdowns. He was bottom in turnovers. Had rushing touchdowns. Uh-huh. Led his team to 12 wins.
Yes,
I mean.
So last year, you felt like Dak Prescott was the best player in the NFL.
He's literally doing the same exact things that other quarterbacks do that get them. Get them the
praise and the love.
Praise and the respect as a top quarterback in the league. We would never name the other quarterback in the league who led the league in touchdowns and wasn't looked at as a top three quarterback. You can go year by year. Mm-hmm. You will not see. It will always be someone who was consensusly ranked as a top three quarterback, top five max.
Mm-hmm.
Except Dak Prescott.
And you think the Cowboys' name stains Dak Prescott a little bit?
That, and because the same thing, because I also don't think Lamar gets the same respect that Josh Allen gets. I don't think Jalen Hurts gets a lot of the same respect that I think the black quarterback
plays a part in it. Okay.
Specifically, like I said, Dak Prescott hasn't played a game in months.
Yes.
You know who just played a game and put up a complete stinker in his second playoff game, where in the first one he also put up a complete stinker?
Who's that?
Justin Herbert.
Yes.
Max was at one point the highest paid quarterback in the league, got a $30-something million contract.
Yes.
I don't know if he was highest at the time. It was up there at the time. But it's crickets.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Okay. I'm glad you took it there because I wanted to talk about the Chargers first. I hear you on the black quarterback narrative. I do. See, it's hard for me too because it's like I think Jalen Hurts gets the right amount of respect. I mean, if you're asking me right now, who do I think is the better quarterback? I tell you, I think it's Josh Allen. I love Jalen Hurts though. I love what he brings to the table. I love. Like I've said it before, when Jalen Hurts plays his game, when he's at his best, we can play with anybody. I've said that multiple times. It's funny. You don't think Lamar gets the same respect? I mean, he's about to be a three-time MVP. You don't think Lamar is on that level of respect?
I think.
That's just.
With him and Josh Allen.
Uh-huh.
Especially like.
They're definitely trying to push the Josh Allen narrative for MVP this year, but.
I think that's something that's been happening his whole career.
Uh-huh.
I think if Lamar were to lead the league in interceptions year after year after year,
yeah,
it would be talked about until the end of time. He would. I feel like it wouldn't. I don't think of the. He would be looked at like Jameis Winston,
yeah,
instead of Josh Allen, who the same way Josh Allen puts up a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess 30 touchdowns isn't that many when you have 30 interceptions, but. 30-something touchdowns and 18 to 20
Josh
interceptions.
Josh Allen, he's only led the league. He's only led the league in interceptions. What? Once?
No, that's impossible.
Are you sure? I don't.
This is the first year he's not top two, top one in interceptions.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Josh Allen is a top three, top four quarterback. I think Lamar Jackson is the right now. I think he's the best quarterback in football. I also think he's the best player in football. I think he's getting I think he's getting the amount of respect that comes with that.
I think for Lamar, like his MVPs, I think the first one, like he had to be perfect to win that first one. He was unanimous. Like there was no way he could vote for anybody else.
Yeah.
This year's
that was 2018.
I think so. This year they're doing whatever they can to make it put Josh Allen. I literally saw like a tweet about him. Oh, what was it? He threw it. I've heard the term arm punt before, but it was by like an actual like national media source.
Josh Allen threw an interception,
and they were like literally giving him credit for an arm punt when it was just a regular. It was a regular throw on like third or second down, like in the middle of the game.
Well, if it was on third down, then I don't know. I guess I need more context on that.
I've seen plenty of examples throughout the season.
Of
Josh Allen getting a lot of credit, last year's MVP.
Yeah.
The only other, they had to give it to a black quarterback, and if they weren't going to give it to the, like I said, that's where Dak gets the black quarterback and the Cowboys flag.
Yeah.
So I think in terms of the respect Lamar gets, I think he gets it only when he has to get it. If the counterpart,
when they have no choice but to give it to him.
Yes. If the counterpart is a Josh Allen, is a Joe Burrow at the time, they're not going to give him said credit.
Yeah.
In the same way, I think Dak has been, he's had like the worst weapons. I agree. Especially when if you want to compare Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Lamar Jackson, he's by far had the worst weapons.
Who are you talking about?
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, 1,000%.
Which is why I think that plays in the part why he has the worst playoff record of the three.
You could argue that.
Which is also.
He hasn't played well in the playoffs, historically speaking.
I agree with that.
Right.
Which is also something that doesn't apply to Dak Prescott. He doesn't perform. He didn't perform.
Did he play good against the Packers?
That was a mad game. In his seventh playoff game.
That was a mad game. That's what he said. That was a mad game.
He's had a great game. He's had good games.
Hold on. What was Dak's numbers in that game? Yeah, because I don't know, man. I don't think Dak Prescott had a good game. Didn't he throw like a pick six to start?
He threw one pick six, but the Packers scored 48 points. So I guess.
Yeah, I know. Your defense didn't show up.
I guess they scored 41.
But that right now, that ain't got nothing to do with how Dak did, though.
Let's see. End of the game. 403 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions.
What was his completion percentage?
41 for 60.
I don't know. I remember watching that game. And it was it does not look good. I don't know. We spoke about that too. Dak Prescott, he gets the double entendre, right? Being a black quarterback and being a black quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, you're going to get all the scrutiny and then some. I agree with you on that. I acknowledge that. We know that's out there. I will also admit, like, the black quarterback, like, they do have to work twice as hard, right? They have to play damn near perfect to get any recognition. I do acknowledge that. But I think Lamar Jackson gets his just due. I think he forced people to give him his just due, right? Because when he first came to the league, he needs to be a wide receiver. He needs to be a running back. And now, fast forward 8 years, he's a 2-time, about to be 3-time MVP. So I think he's forced people to give him that level of respect. But you mentioned the Chargers earlier. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, Justin Herbert had a stinker. I'm here to tell you all, it is not solely on him. Did you watch that game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because C.J. Stroud was also having a stinker. Justin Herbert just refused to get out stumped.
Justin Herbert, literally, if it wasn't Ladd McConkey, he didn't trust anybody out there. That man needs help. I'm not negating the fact that he played bad. He threw 4 interceptions. He knows it. We all know it. He played bad. Los Angeles, get Justin Herbert a number one receiver. I like Ladd McConkey, but I think he's best suited as number two, me personally. And Justin Herbert needs an O-line, man. All right? You can have Justin Herbert back there. You can have Patrick Mahomes back there. You can have Lamar Jackson back there. But if you don't have a good old line back there blocking for him, it don't matter who you got back there throwing the football. It don't matter who you got on the outside running routes to catch the football. Justin Herbert needs help. He needs help. That's my biggest takeaway. The Chargers in the offseason, they need to address receivers on the outside. They need to address his O-line. They started it drafting Joe Alt last year. They need to get five other guys that can block for him too. Because, man, it is not looking good in Los Angeles. It's not. It's not. That's my takeaway in watching that game. You making that face like you disagree wholeheartedly.
No, that was one of the worst quarterback games I've ever seen in my life.
It was bad. I'm not arguing that. I'm just telling you, he needs help. He needs help.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. I just don't care to give him that grace.
Okay.
Well, I mean...
And that's like my eye test.
Now you use the eye test.
That's my problem with the eye test.
Oh.
Because in everyone's eye test, no matter what the circumstances were,
yeah,
in a playoff game, mm-hmm. if Dak Prescott threw four interceptions, he could have been throwing to me and you out there, and yes. no one would ever be like, he needs more help. They would be like, yes. he sucks.
Yes.
Get him off the team.
Yes.
And I just don't that's my overall problem with sports talk in general. Because I don't feel that way about Justin Herbert. I just don't.
What do you mean you don't feel that way?
Like, I don't feel like he just sucks to be off the team. Like,
no, yeah.
But that was a bad game.
It was a bad game. It was also his second playoff game. I just want to.
I mean, the first one was bad, too.
I'm saying he's still. Whatever. I'm saying that to say.
Boo, a 28-point lead.
Now, that one, okay, first off, Brandon Staley was his head coach, and that was not all on Justin Herbert. Really, honestly, I watched that game. That was Brandon Staley, dog. He should have been fired after that game. I mean, yeah, I hear you, though. Look, if Dak Prescott and Justin Herbert, if they switch spots, I would say the same thing. Dak would need help too. Dak needs help.
I was just there.
He needs help now.
They have one receiver. Yes.
No running back. I mean, you have Rico Dowdle, but like no real running back. No, Dak needs help. Justin Herbert needs help. Like, if dudes need help, they need help.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert. Obviously, I was saying that though, dude. Like this whole season, Justin Herbert, he only threw three interceptions, and he only passed for like 16, 17 touchdowns. That's the one drawback with Jim Harbaugh as your head coach. I know, personally, as a Michigan fan, that's your mm-hmm. one drawback, right? Because everybody now is talking about, you know, J.J. McCarthy and what should Minnesota do? Like, do they move off of Sam Darnold? Do they give J.J. McCarthy the keys? And, like, everybody's like, well, like, we don't even know how good J.J. McCarthy really is. I know how good J.J. McCarthy really is. I saw the talent. The thing is, Jim Harbaugh loves to play smash-mouth football. He loves to run the ball. He loves to run the clock. And he loves to play smash-mouth defense. That's what he loves to do. And, I mean, that works in college. To be honest, I didn't think we were going to win a national championship like that, but we did. And it was really just, you know, we had Blake Corum back there. We had Donovan Edwards back there. And we had play action, right? J.J. McCarthy, every now and again, he would need to make a play or two, and he would.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like we told J.J. McCarthy to drop back 30, 40 times a game and make plays. No, that's not how Jim Harbaugh operates. I think he's going to need to change that a little bit, especially being in the NFL, right? It's a passing game. It's a passing league nowadays, man. So, yeah, I think Jim Harbaugh is going to need to evolve a little bit as an offensive coach. And I mean, dude, you have Justin Herbert back there, dude. Like, use him. You know what I'm saying? Like, get him some guys and use him. Dude, Justin Herbert can launch that thing like 85 yards easy. All right. He's super talented. He needs guys and he needs, you know, more coaching. You know, they got Greg Roman as the offensive coordinator. I don't like that because that just reinforces the smash mouth football mentality. So I think Jim Harbaugh needs to evolve in his coaching a little bit in terms of what he wants out of his offense. And, you know, Justin Herbert, he'll learn from this, man. He's still super young. He'll learn from it. And, like I said, hopefully they get him some more receivers and some O-line to actually block for the man. Because, again, you could be Patrick Mahomes back there. It don't matter, dude. If you're running for your life, if you only have one read and your one read is Ladd McConkey, all due respect, it's only going to get you so far.
Yeah.
It's only going to get you so far. I wanted to run down the list of teams that lost in the playoffs. I just wanted to touch on every team a little bit.
Yeah, so, every team I was rooting for, basically.
Except the
Rams. That was the only team I was rooting for that actually won.
Okay. So you were rooting for Denver?
Oh, and the Chiefs. I was going for the Chiefs.
Were you going for Denver?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, they ran up against a buzzsaw in Buffalo. I wasn't surprised at that outcome. But Denver, I mean, Denver is super young. To be honest, I think they surprised a lot of people this year, myself included. I didn't think they were going to make a run like they did. I wasn't even sure they were going to make the playoffs because I wasn't sure about Bo Nix. But it seems like Denver's found their franchise guy, and their defense is young and really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really good. Nick Bonito off the edge, dude, he's really good. Like, really, really. I think he's third in the league in sacks this year.
No, they definitely got a lot to build on.
Yeah, no, Denver, they're coming. They're coming. So, kudos to Denver for that. Shout out to Sean Payton. You know, still don't like how he did Russ, but whatever, it is what it is. We talked about Minnesota earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they've been pretenders twice? Like, how does that happen?
I think this year.
You don't think they were pretenders this year?
I think they were pretenders, but at the end of the day, it just came down to Sam Darnold just not being that level of a quarterback. And, I mean, like we said, we touched on earlier, their O-line, he was running for his life
yes.
a lot of the time, but there were a lot of times he was
holding the ball too
long. Yeah, very just holding on to the ball, but I think their offense was, obviously you look at Jordan Addison's numbers and say he played amazing this year, but mm-hmm. At the end of the day, their entire team lived and died by Justin Jefferson.
Right.
I think there was only a few games, a game or two this season where when Justin Jefferson
was out, because he was out for like two or three games, I think.
I think specifically a game where he did play, but he was being doubled all night. They were
right.
The team held him in check, and Jordan, that was like the one game Jordan Addison had like three or so touchdowns.
Right.
And that was the one game where Justin Jefferson wasn't producing and Jordan Addison stepped up.
Right.
And I just didn't think that was something that he would be able to do consistently.
Yeah.
I think he's a great number two. He'd be by far the number two receiver in Dallas,
yeah.
but he just needs that number one guy to
yeah.
get going. To kind of get to kind of step up into that role.
Right.
And when they couldn't get the ball to Justin Jefferson, it
right.
just is like.
I think. No, you're right. It's funny though. Hearing you say that, like I think I agree with you on it. Like it just might be Sam Darnold handicapping that offense because it's not like they don't have a Jordan Addison. It's not like they don't have a TJ Hockenson at tight end. It's not like they don't have a 1,000-yard rusher in Aaron Jones.
Right.
Right, it's not like they don't have an offense. So, I mean, these last two games in Minnesota, man, getting beat up by Detroit like that, and then getting beat up by the Rams like that. Sam Darnold did not look good in any game. He looked scared. He looked shook.
Absolutely.
He looked like he didn't trust what he was reading out there. So I think it might be Sam Darnold, man. And then if you're Minnesota again, we just spoke about it. You know, the age old question: do we bring Sam back?
No, absolutely not.
You wouldn't.
Not after he. Yeah, I mean, the keys were in his hand.
Right.
And he just he lost them with those last two games.
Right.
I think.
So you're rolling the dice with JJ?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you draft him with that.
You take him in the first round.
Yeah, you take him in the first round. He was poised to be your next guy up, and then
right.
I unfortunately got injured. But I think it'd be different if you hadn't drafted JJ. I think, say, you Sam Darnold was kind of who they brought. This was like a prove it year for him. I think that might have been enough. Well, I mean,
it was a prove it year for him regardless.
Well, I think in the terms of it was a prove it year in terms of, like, it wasn't a planned prove it year. Well, he kind of got thrown into the position. Yeah, but remember,
Kevin O'Connell even said, it's funny, people keep forgetting, Kevin O'Connell said J.J. McCarthy wasn't going to start. I don't think, I think the plan wasn't for them to have Sam Darnold be the bridge quarterback regardless.
Oh, well then.
I don't think no one anticipated Sam Darnold to have the year he had, right? No one thought they were going to be middle of the pack. Everybody thought the Vikings were going to finish last in the NFC North, yeah. Right? Like, it was a forgotten year. Everybody thought it was going to be over.
I think he would have needed to end that. He had had a great regular season.
Right.
Even with that Rams loss, I think
you got to finish better in the playoffs.
Yeah,
man.
I think he could have secured that spot with the playoff win. Yeah.
Do you think he's? I think he still gets paid somewhere.
I think he'll get definitely a decent amount of money somewhere. I think he earned that. But in turn, when the Vikings drafted their guy, they're in their eyes, they're a quarterback away from, you know, taking that next step.
Right.
I think they rolled the dice with the,
you know,
with
the guy they brought in. If you got JJ McCarthy, dude, and you know, you're gonna have a good 3-4 years on him before you gotta make a decision financially on him. So you gotta see what you got, man. You gotta see, you know, ultimately what him and Justin Jefferson can do.
For sure.
Right? Because Justin Jefferson, he's the key that makes the whole engine go. And so, you know, hopefully, number 9, JJ McCarthy, they can figure it out with him. I think they got a good one in JJ McCarthy. I've said it before. I loved him as our quarterback. I literally said, when he committed to Michigan, I literally said, like, this dude is going to lead us to a national championship. And he did it. He did it being handicapped, honestly. I think Kevin O'Connell can help him unlock his full potential, me personally.
I plan on seeing him firsthand next season. The Vikings will be coming to Dallas.
Yeah.
It's something me and one of my best friends have wanted for a while.
Christian.
Yeah, he's a huge Vikings fan. For some reason, the last 3 times we whooped on them were all in Minnesota, so we didn't get to see it in person.
That's
so
funny.
Now they're finally coming to Dallas.
Right.
So hoping to plan to get to go see that. See him firsthand. And it also tests my theory because – I'm calling a win now. It'll test my theory that no matter what, like I've said multiple times, some teams just have each other's numbers, and I think the Vikings are that team for us.
Yeah.
We've beat them with Andy Dalton. We beat them with Cooper Rush. And in a season where just like this one where they were a top team in the NFC, 13-3. Of course, us, the Eagles, Cowboys being – one of the 3 teams that beat them that season. Obviously, we kind of saw that they were pretenders, but across the league, that's not what it seemed like. They were 13-3. Dak Prescott beat them 40-3.
Mm-hmm.
So that just kind of proves my theory, has supported my theory that some teams just have other teams' numbers. So next season, we'll see that.
Yeah. It'll
be another game against them. We don't know what in January of this season, we have no clue what next season will be, and I'm still thinking that we'll win that game. Just it's like we beat Tampa Bay this year. I think that's another team whose number we just have as of recent.
Right.
So that's just the things going on in my head. I think it'll be exciting to see.
Yeah, yeah. No, it'll be a good one. JJ McCarthy will finally make his NFL debut, and we'll see how that looks up in Minnesota. Moving on.
Also, I haven't been to a game in a couple years, so it'll be nice to get back.
Fun fact, I have yet to be to an NFL game. I have yet to go. Need to make that happen.
I would be down to go to a Cowboys Eagles game.
I just want to be.
I just want them to be competitive for some reason the last 2 seasons it's been. The last game I went to was the Cowboys Eagles Christmas Eve game.
Yeah.
But that was the season where y'all won the first game against Cooper Rush. Then we won the second game against Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
And last season, I mean, it was both games were more competitive last season, and Jalen and Dak played in both. And we went 1-1. And then this season was obviously just terrible. For us, I would just want it to be. I wouldn't want either team to be terrible.
Yeah, yeah. You want us both to be in the race. In the playoff race. Speaking of our division, though, the second best team in the division currently, Washington, the Commanders, came into the season. I thought they were going to be the second best team in the division. I thought Jaden Daniels was going to be nice. I didn't think he was going to be this nice, but I thought he was going to be nice. I did have them making the playoffs. But, man, dude, like, watching them play right now, specifically Jaden Daniels, like, he – it's almost like he's flowing. Like, it doesn't even feel like the moment's too big for him. Like, it's like the this is the playoffs, but he's just, like, cool, calm, and collected like nobody's business.
I didn't really see that.
You don't feel like you watched that? Because
I didn't really see too much from him that really impressed me in this game.
Not even like numbers wise, but I'm like he just plays with a calmness and a poise. I feel like that it's just.
This isn't even me going because I don't know what his numbers really were in this game. I'm just trying to like just going out. I guess my eye test. What I saw there was nothing.
Oh, now he's using the eye test.
Because I don't really remember his numbers, so I mean,
so like you don't watch him play and like think like, man, this dude is just like so locked in, like it's like he doesn't get rattled. If it doesn't feel like he gets rattled, like at all.
I mean, I guess I haven't seen him be rattled too many times, so no, I wouldn't. That's not said. I don't see that.
Yeah,
I don't see him like be rattled. Yeah. So yeah, no.
It just to me, he's playing with a level of calmness, a level of poise that can. In my opinion, I'm not going to lie, Detroit should win. But if Washington can hang around, I think they can steal one.
Oh, no. I think
they said that I think they can steal one. I didn't say they're going to win. I just said I think they can steal one.
They stole one to even get there.
Against Tampa?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? Like, as the game progressed against Tampa, like, Washington, I don't know. I just feel like Washington kept, like, tightening their grip on it. And then Baker's fumble, that like capped it all off. I don't know, man. I'm just saying, I really think if Washington can keep it close, I think they can make it interesting. I'm not saying they're going to win flat out. I'm just saying.
No, I don't think they have the ability to really keep it close.
You don't think so?
Defensively, no, I don't think they can really stop the Rams' offense. The Lions' offense from scoring. And
well, here's the question. If Washington gets rolling, can Detroit's defense stop them?
Yes.
You think Detroit can stop them with third and fourth stringers in the secondary?
They've stopped better players. They've stopped better offenses.
Are you talking about the Vikings?
They just shut down two way better receivers than Terry McLaurin. And
yeah, but we both just chalked that up to harshly Sam Darnold, you know, laying a goose egg.
He did play bad, but I think that kind of equals out.
I'm telling you, dude. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy, but I'm not gonna lie. I think Washington can make it interesting. I'll be honest with you. I think they can make it interesting.
I don't really see that happening.
I think their defense is better than people give it credit for, and I think if Washington can keep pace with Detroit, they can make it interesting. Detroit should win. I'm not saying I'm not saying Washington's gonna win. I'm just saying if Washington can keep pace, I think they can make it interesting.
I just don't see
it. You don't see that? You don't see the scenario in which that happens?
No, I've seen Washington lose to Cooper Rush. I just don't. I think they're a step above pretenders.
Yeah.
What the Vikings were.
Oh, hold on. Yeah, they're not. I mean, Washington's ascending.
Yeah.
They're ascending.
I think.
Y'all had to try to leapfrog Washington next year.
I think. That won't be too difficult.
Okay. I was about to say, do you disagree?
No. I definitely think they earned their spot as the second best team, even with the loss to us. But right. I still think we won't.
You think y'all will have a quick bounce back? The Cowboys.
We have the pieces to, or we're in position to have a quick bounce back. It depends on whether or not the right decisions are made.
And let's go ahead. Okay, there we go. Hey, let's talk about it. The elephant in the lobby at this point. The Cowboys have let go of Mike McCarthy. They've relieved him of his duties. His contract expired.
Thank goodness.
The head coaching search is on.
Right.
The names I've seen, Deion Sanders, obviously we've all seen that. I've seen Deion. I've seen Robert Saleh. Mm-hmm. I've seen Leslie Frazier. I don't know if you've seen any other names on your end.
Yeah, I've seen the same names, obviously.
Have you seen anybody else?
In terms of
who y'all are looking at or who they've interviewed?
Well, I think Saleh's the only one. He's the first interview. I think it's tomorrow. And I think that's the only one that's even been confirmed as an interview. But
let me ask you something. Do you feel like Jerry mishandled this situation too? Because remember, okay, you don't.
I don't think he mishandled it. I just think he mishandled or handled well.
I just think because remember last week Chicago wanted to interview Mike McCarthy.
Right.
And he said no. Mm-hmm. He waited. He twiddled his thumbs. He waited 5 more days and then he let his contract expire.
Well.
But by that, I'm just saying, like, I feel like by this point, it feels early in, like, the coaching cycle, right? But, like, dude, Mike Vrabel's already the coach of the Patriots.
I think that's the only coach.
Somebody.
That's the only coach that I feel like we missed out on, quote unquote.
Mike Vrabel?
Yeah.
Well, and I just feel like.
In terms of him, what he did, in terms of how he handled Mike.
Yeah.
Only reason I don't think it was bad in terms of, like, bad business practice, like he did Mike dirty, is because
I wouldn't even go in there with it.
Well, I just think, in terms of the, because I think the plan was to bring Mike back. They couldn't agree on a contract.
Yeah, I want, like, because by this point, dude, like most guys are kind of like, it's in that space of like, all right, like I feel like Aaron Glenn is going to go to the Saints. I feel like that's almost a done deal. Ben Johnson, I think it's between him. It's between it's between the Raiders and the Bears, the Jags.
Have they already interviewed for those teams?
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Like, all these interviews have already happened. So
I wasn't aware of
that. Like, if you're Jerry, like, you're already, like, we talked about this before, you're way behind the eight ball now.
Well, yeah, right? For sure.
So that's what I mean. Like, I just.
That's the, I see. I wasn't aware that.
Yeah, dude, they've already interviewed.
They were already, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All these coaches have already interviewed. So, like, they're already kind of, you know, these teams are kind of, like, already, like, by this point, they're already like, all right, you know what? Yeah, I think we're going to hire Aaron Glenn, or I think we're going to hire Ben Johnson, or, you know, whoever. Robert Saleh, there's even talk of him. He could go to the Jacksonville job.
Mm-hmm.
That's picking up steam, apparently. I did see, you know, Jerry and Mike, they just couldn't agree on a contract extension. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, dude, if you know the likelihood is you're not going to get an agreement with this man, like, if you know you want to go a different direction, you probably should have started earlier.
I don't think he did. I think Jerry wanted to bring him back.
Yeah.
Mike, I don't know what he asked for or what the negotiation was.
Right. I just think he started late, dude. Because right now, I mean, is Deion y'all's best candidate? Do you think that's a real possibility?
I'll say that was the absolute biggest surprise to me.
Did that really?
That his name came up so quickly.
That didn't surprise me at all.
Only because.
We spoke about that before.
Well, because I thought it surprised me. It didn't surprise me in terms of a story. Because Deion back to the Cowboys is going to bring an absorbing amount of clicks.
Yep.
But. Yep. In terms of when I saw that it was actual, like,
they spoke. They were actually
talking about it. That's what surprised me.
You saw Deion's quote?
I did. Didn't he say it was, like, good? And
he said, I talked to Jerry. He said, I respect Jerry. Yeah. Jerry, I'm intrigued. You know, he said all that and said, like, but, like, I love what I have in Boulder and all this and that. But, like, he didn't say no. Yeah,
right.
He didn't say no. So, would you want Prime as your head coach?
Yeah, I would want him more than Robert Saleh. More than
really?
Who's
your number one guy right now? Who do you want? If you could pick anybody.
Ben Johnson.
Okay.
But
I don't think that's going to happen.
But the people that we named that are actually in talk.
Yeah, the guys that y'all actually talking to.
For sure, I would want Deion.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He's one of the only people that would be able to handle, like, the circus that comes with, because I think it would.
Yeah.
Not only the Cowboys as, like, conglomerate is a circus in itself.
Yeah.
I think Deion coming and being the coach would elevate that circus to the Ringling Brothers, the top of the line circus.
Is that what we want? Do we want to elevate the circus?
I think he'd be the only person who'd be able to handle it. So I wouldn't, I don't think
it. When you say handle it, do you mean?
I mean, take it by the reins and be in control of the circus.
And now it's interesting that you use the word control, because that leads me to my next question. Do you think Deion Sanders and Jerry Jones can coexist like that?
I think if he hires him, he doesn't have a choice at that point.
We saw this before with Jimmy Johnson.
I mean, he won a couple before he got out of there. So if he goes that same route, who got please? I think if that decision is made, Deion is the only person that will, one of the only people who will do what Deion wants, regardless of what Jerry's doing, regardless of what Jerry says. And I think Jerry knows that. And so I think that decision is made with that being like an understanding that Deion is going to come and do things his way. And Jerry's going to still be Jerry, but it's just not going to be as effective, I think, with the Deion-led team. Like, Deion is, I think he's a really good leader of men, especially being, I think he would just have that respect of not only just being a great leader of men, just someone who's done it.
Yeah.
At the, not just at the highest level, but at the highest level of the highest level. He's one of the greatest of all time.
The greatest cornerback ever.
And so I think that just comes with a different level of respect, especially from football players. Mm-hmm. There's a different like brotherhood that's the code that they live by. So
I don't know. It'd be a show for sure. It'd be a show for sure. I just don't know if it'd be a good one or a bad one.
I mean, I don't see how he can make it worse. I say that. Let me knock on wood.
Yeah, I mean, you say that, but I don't know. It's gonna be interesting, very interesting to see who y'all end up, you know, bringing in to run this thing next.
I'm seeing names like Jason Witten and Kellen Moore.
I've seen, the Kellen Moore I've seen, but what I've seen more with Jason Witten is I've seen it because, you know, there's been talk, and I don't know if y'all have like requested to interview Pete Carroll yet, but like there's been talk of like if y'all were to hire a Pete Carroll or, you know, if Bill Belichick were to say he nixes North Carolina and comes to y'all, and Jason Witten would be named as head coach in waiting. Apparently, Jerry Jones has an affinity for Jason Witten like nobody else's business. And
I don't.
How about that, man? You want your old Pro Bowl tight end to take over one day?
No, he hasn't earned it. I know he's a high school football coach. They just won state, but it's a local private. Someone might hear that and say, "Oh, Texas high school football." No, it's a private. He won at a private school. I'm pretty sure they were like 1A or 2A or if that.
So you're not here for the Jason Witten head coaching waiting talk
right now? No. If he were to, even if he were to go the Deion route to where he was coaching at a high school, Deion coached at a private high school.
Yep, he started.
Yeah, literally. If he were to then to go to coach a D2, he doesn't even have to go to D, or what was Jackson State? They're not D2. That's just a SWAC school, right?
Yeah.
So if he go, he doesn't even have to, even if he were to go coach a D1 like Colorado somewhere, if he were to earn that spot, take over them and then prove he can win, prove he can kind of change the program.
You're not here for the Jeff Saturday model.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Yeah, no.
And I think that goes back to we've talked about it before, but we were talking about black quarterbacks, the black coaching experience.
Yeah, Jerome Mayo got done dirty.
Exactly, Jerome Mayo got
exactly
done dirty.
That's exactly why Aaron Glenn, he literally said, "I'm not interviewing with the Patriots after that." Yeah. Which I guess they got their guy. So,
but when you look at Deion Sanders, not only he's had to earn it at every level, but he's also been told he couldn't do it at every level.
Yep.
And then you hear names like Jason Witten, and it's like, oh, he's automatically about to.
Yeah.
And I mean, it hasn't happened. It's just talk. I mean, but if it were to happen,
we know what the deal
is. It wouldn't
be
surprising. And if it were to, and it would be, it wouldn't be the first time.
There's a lot of nepotism in the league.
Yeah.
We know what the deal is. It's going to be very interesting to see who the Cowboys bring in to lead this charge next. Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's crazy because, like, the names, it's a pretty wide range, right? You got Deion Sanders, Leslie Frazier. I was surprised to see his name, former Minnesota head coach, former Bills defensive coordinator. Like, I was very surprised to see his name. You know, I know Rex Ryan, he was out there looking for the Jets head coaching job. He interviewed with the Jets again. I don't know if he's trying to, you know, make a comeback. Maybe I'll interview him, too. I don't know. To me, at this point, I feel like Jerry has to cast a wide net and just see what he catches. Right, because
the options are kind of limited. We can pick anybody.
You want an offensive guy, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or I would be okay with the defensive guy, but then the who we get at offensive coordinator is gigantic at that point.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, speaking of coaching, Pittsburgh Steelers, their season is over once again.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Mike Tomlin needs to be done in Pittsburgh?
It would be hard to see him coaching somewhere else, but I'm a person, I like to keep the same injury. No other coach would be given that amount of grace for this long.
Uh-huh.
off the back of one Super Bowl win. No, I can't think of another. Like,
so do you think he needs to be gone?
Yeah, it'd be hard to see him coach somewhere else. But
so what do you say to the folks that say he hasn't had a quarterback? What do you say to that? Because those are the Mike Tomlin defenders.
It's not false, but yeah, I feel like especially because at the same time they've still been a playoff team. They still haven't had a losing season.
No.
So it's like the fact that he was able to do that without a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, it's either I could understand them moving on, but at the same time, what he's built there with the legacy he's still, like, that he's leaving.
Yeah.
They kind of, like, Tomlin and the Steelers go hand in hand. So I mean,
the Steelers, they've only had three head coaches in their history.
Yeah. So
three.
Yeah, that's why I'm so I could understand. It'd be different. I like you said, it'd be like he doesn't have. It'd be different if he had teams who were supposed to be succeeding and they just weren't.
Yeah. Well, here's my thing. I hear you on the not having a quarterback since like from when Ben Roethlisberger's last year up until this season. Like Kenny Pickett, not good. He was involved in making that pick, by the way. Whatever. Just want to throw it out there. He drafted that quarterback. Let's just throw it out there, too. But this year, I mean, you started off with Justin Fields. He wasn't playing great, but you were still winning. You won, like, three out of your first five games. Russell Wilson got healthy. And Russell Wilson started off balling, right? And then the offense got stagnant. George Pickens got hurt. Offense got stagnant. You trade for Mike Williams. You barely use him. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Why trade for somebody if you're not going to – you know what I'm saying? Like, why trade for a receiver if you're not going to use them?
Yeah.
Whatever. You have Arthur Smith. You bring in Arthur Smith as the offensive coordinator. We all know Arthur Smith is not a good offensive mind.
Yeah.
We saw what he couldn't do in Atlanta when you had Bijan Robinson. You had Kyle Pitts. You had Drake London. You had Tyler Algier. You couldn't do anything. You had – Kyle Pitts had 1,000 yards receiving as a rookie. He had to touch that sense.
Literally.
I don't understand that. Everybody wants to talk about because he was the offensive coordinator in Tennessee when he had Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown. I think it's pretty easy to put up numbers when you have Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I think he gets a pass for that a lot. Mike Tomlin brought in Arthur Smith. All right? So I'm asking you. I'm looking at Mike Tomlin like, well, what kind of offense do you want? Because the Steelers have Pat Freiermuth. They have Darnell Washington. They have two really good tight ends who you could use in the middle of the field. But they don't attack the middle of the field because they don't use the tight ends. Right? That's what I watch. That's what I take away watching the Steelers. And I told you before, early in the episode, like, their defense has given up an average of 38 points in their last, like, six playoff losses.
Yeah, that's true.
Just in their last, like, they lost five games to end the season, right?
Doesn't matter who your quarterback is.
No.
If you're giving up 38 points,
yes,
you're going to win.
Like, okay, so Mike Tomlin, are you looking at Terrell Austin, the defensive coordinator, and saying, dude, like, you got to go? Right? That's another thing, too. I was speaking about this with, I can't remember, but I was talking about, like, the Eagles, and this is part of the reason why I love Howie Roseman so much. He sees holes in the roster and he addresses them 2-3 years in advance. We drafted Cam Jurgen, Jason Kelsey's replacement, 2 years before he retired. We drafted Jalen Carter 2 years before Fletch retired, or 1 year before Fletch retired, right? Like, we, Howie Roseman, he sees the needs coming and he addresses them immediately, right? The Steelers, dude, you need to find Cam Hayward's replacement because he's on his last leg.
Mm-hmm.
TJ Watt, He still has a few years in him. You know, he's still, you know, one of the best players in the league, one of the best edge players in the league, but he's getting older. He's not getting younger, and his injuries are starting to pile up.
Definitely.
Right? Minkah Fitzpatrick, I don't know what's going on with him. He's kind of having a down year ever since they traded for him. It just – I don't know. Oh, and their second corner, right, because they drafted Joey Porter Jr. last year. He's their number one. But their number two corner, they've just been putting a band-aid on that position. They traded for Dante Jackson. He was okay, but he was starting to get burnt towards the end of the season. Najee Harris on the offense. I mean, they didn't pick up his fifth-year option. He's about to be a free agent. I don't know what their plan is there. Their O-line has not been that good. right? So, like, you have all these holes, and I'm looking at Mike Tomlin, like, why haven't you addressed these? Like, why haven't you tried to figure it out? Right? So, to me, these are all fair questions. And, you know, with that being said, again, as great of a coach as Mike Tomlin has been, this is a results-oriented business. You know, and if I'm the Steelers, I'm definitely at the very least asking the hard question of what have you done for me lately?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, I feel that.
You know, and you've done nothing but, you know, stay 500 and get bounced in the playoffs.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? So I think Mike Tomlin, I think he can still be a head coach. I'm not saying he, you know, his time is done, but dude, you got to look at yourself in the mirror hard.
2010 was a long time
ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to look at yourself in the mirror hard.
That's crazy to say. 2010 was a long time ago.
I mean, 14 years ago. Jesus.
15.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you're 15 years ago. My gosh. Yeah, I don't know. Mike Tomlin, is that somebody you'd be interested in if he became available? Oh, my
God. Deion, get out of here. Mike Tomlin would be my number for sure.
Word, okay.
He's one of my favorite coaches in the NFL.
Would you want him over Ben Johnson?
No, I'd want Ben Johnson.
Mike is number two.
Yeah, what I've seen from Ben Johnson offensively is just beautiful to watch sometimes.
Now, you know, remember, though, he's never been a head coach.
That's true.
That doesn't mean that'll translate over. I think he'll be a good head coach, but – you know, just keep that in mind.
Well, I think as long as he's taking control of the offense.
Yeah, but being a head coach ain't just about taking control of the offense.
Well, yeah, but that's what
the – Brandon Staley was an elite defensive coordinator for the Rams. And then he went to the Chargers and was – words I can't even say on here.
I remember there was a point where his defense, like they were given their point differential in terms of points scored and points given up was equal.
The Chargers defense was a top five defense the season prior to him getting there. After he left, they were like 30th. It's crazy. And you had Derwin James, Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa. I know they're older, but like Khalil Mack just came off a career year. Like,
yeah.
Nah, dude, I'm just saying it. Some dudes are better off as coordinators. That's all I'm saying.
That's true. No, yeah, we definitely would be interested in Tomlin if the Steelers moved on.
No, you'd have to trade for him, but like, I mean, you're cool giving up. I mean, you probably have to give up what, a first?
Oh no, I don't want to trade for a coach. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
That's what you'd have to do, though.
I'd rather have Deion than trade for Mike Tomlin.
Okay, so you. That's the threshold. You're not trading for a coach?
No, absolutely not. I wouldn't even trade for Ben Johnson right now.
That's hilarious.
If he was signed to the line, they're like, trade us a first round? Absolutely not. Because we need our first rounders. We need all our picks more than we need a specific coach.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like I said, even if Ben Johnson came in, if we don't give him... We know he's a good coach, but we know
gotta give him something to work with.
We know he's a good quarterback with
gotta still build a team.
Right. Jameer Gibbs, right. David Montgomery, Jameson Williams. Like, right. he has a lot to work with to be a good coach.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I think Mike Tomlin, I just think the question needs to be raised at the very least. I think Pittsburgh needs to take a good, hard, long look and ask themselves what direction do they want their franchise to be heading in, because right now they're just spinning in circles.
Right.
They're just spinning the block. Obviously, I'm happy this episode. I'm in a good mood.
Mm-hmm.
We are still alive in the playoffs. Green Bay, we suffocated Jordan Love, essentially. Defense played lights out. Shout out to Darius Slay. Shout out to Quinyon. Quinyon got his first interception. Quintanamo Bay. Quinyonimo Bay. I think that's what he trademarked. Defense looked really good. Really, really good. Unfortunately, N'Kobe Dean popped his patellar tendon in his knee. He is done for the season. He's the green dot guy. He's the one that makes all the calls. So that's a big loss. Zach Bond's going to take over that responsibility. But I'm fine with that. I mean, he just made first team all pro. So I'm not nervous about that. But you know, that other linebacker hole, man, we got Oren Burks in there. We got
Zach Ball was the first team.
Yes, sir.
That's I remember our first few episodes, you calling him out specifically, like searching for him to make some plays.
No, that one, it couldn't have been Zach Ball. It was, It was probably Bryce Huff.
It was definitely Bryce
Huff. It was definitely Bryce. I was like, no, Zach Bond has been our guy all year. I've said it. Zach Bond needed to be a first team all pro.
You said Zach Bond was the best. You literally said he was the best addition to the team.
I said, yeah.
Said,
no, exactly.
You said Saquon was the best, like, splash, the big
name. Yeah, Zach Bond. Okay, yeah, yep, I got absolutely.
The name mixed up. My bad.
No, you're good. Yeah, no, Zach Bond, much well-deserved. Him and Saquon, first team all pro. Howie Roseman, do your job. Lock up Zach Bond. You know what you got to do.
He was only on a 1-year deal.
Right? Yeah, dude. He was a special teamer before he came here. It's crazy. But yeah, no, man. I mean, you watched the Green Bay game?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, we did our thing. We handled our business. Offense, I will say, we got to shake off the rust. I know Jalen's been out of the past couple of games, but we got to shake off the rust. We got a very tough Rams team coming in. And, you know, it's funny, though. This playoff run, we're playing teams that we've played in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, last time we played the Rams, Saquon went off for 255 yards. So, right. What I'm expecting is a game in which they're going to key in on trying to stop Saquon early and often. I think we'll be able to run the ball on them again because I'm not going to lie, their D-line is crazy. Like, and they're young, too.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you stop a good D-line, a good pass rush? You run the football, right? Definitely. So, obviously, I think that's going to be a huge part of our game plan. Jalen Hurts, though, you know, he's continuing to not turn the ball over. He's playing good football, but, like, we've got to get the passing game going more. He's got to shake that rust off. He held the ball too long a few times in the Green Bay game. Kellen Moore, you got to continue to call a good game, man. Give a good balance. Give Saquon the ball. Give him touches early and often. But I'm not going to lie, I'm anticipating a dogfight against the Rams, man. I was talking to my coworker about it earlier, and he was like, you don't think like it's going to be a high-scoring game? And I was like, honestly, no.
Right.
I really don't. I think it's going to be a tight game. The Rams, they play tough, man. They play tough. And I said it before, like, as long as Matthew Stafford, Puka, and Cooper are healthy – They're in it with anybody, dude. They just find ways to make enough plays.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, we got the Rams coming up. If I had to guess, I think the final score would probably be 24-17. Obviously in our favor. Really, it's just we gotta get Saquon established early. We gotta get the passing game established early. To me, those are the two keys. Defense, I mean, we have the number one defense in the league. We can play with anybody. And we shut them down last time. But again, that was in the regular season. This is the postseason. Everything goes out the window in the postseason. Yeah, man, I'm expecting a good one. And, you know, fly, Eagles, fly, man. Hopefully we go 1-0 this week. That's all I'm focused on. And we will see come Sunday.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely got y'all's work cut out for you. But, yep. Well, I guess we'll see what happens.
Literally, it's the playoffs, bro. Like, everything's out the window. Out the window. We're going to find out.
Any given Sunday.
Any given Sunday. Right.
And at this point, I mean, all the teams are good. You don't really make it to the
second round. No. You've already weeded out all the pretenders. Yes, exactly. There you go. We're going to fast forward a little bit. Next Monday, the college football national championship will be played against Notre Dame and my arch enemy, Ohio State. Texas, y'all let me down. Oregon, y'all let me down. Marcus Freeman, you have one job. Beat Ohio State. I don't care if you went to school there, dog. You the head coach of Notre Dame now. Beat Ohio State, please, so I can sleep easy. Please.
I don't think they can do it.
Notre Dame, you don't think so?
No. I mean, Oregon just got embarrassed. It was a lot worse than it looked. And
it was horrible.
Yeah.
It was horrible. It was over the first quarter.
Right. And in the Texas game,
towards the end, though, I'm not gonna lie, Ohio State just started to pull away.
They were just the better team, and I think that, simply put, they're the best team in college football right now. Obviously, you know better than anybody, they were one Michigan game away from having a perfect season.
Yeah, yep. Screw Ohio State.
And I think a Michigan Ohio State game is almost like a division game in football. A division game in the NFL, like this season. We just beat the Commanders. And we went 1-1 against the Commanders.
If I had to describe the Michigan-Ohio State game to like a division in the NFL, I would say it's an AFC North game. It's tough, hard nose every single time.
I think it's like, obviously, there are some outliers, but I think That's just how division games are in general.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I know. I just, like, in terms of, like, I don't know. Have you been watching the Hard Knocks for the AFC North?
No.
It honestly, to me, it's, like, the best one they've done in a few years. But I love how they emphasize so much about, like, the AFC North and how they operate. And that's just the vibe and the energy I get watching Michigan play Ohio State. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I truly believe Michigan and Ohio State is the biggest rivalry in sports. Yeah, we beat them. But, like, I've said it before, we suck this year. Sherrone Moore, he's on my hit list. If he don't figure it out this year, I think he should be fired. I'm going to say this, though, about the national championship game. I think the X factor is going to be Riley Leonard, the Notre Dame starting quarterback. I think if he has a good game, I think if he has a great game, I think Notre Dame has a real shot. Here's the thing. I watched Notre Dame play, right? And I feel like they use him because Riley Leonard, he's a mobile quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they use him like a high school team uses their best athlete. Like, I feel like they just put him back there and they play him as the best athlete on the team rather than a mobile quarterback, if that makes sense.
Mm.
Like, it's I don't know, man. It's just like watching them play. Like, he 2 games ago, he won in the semis. He threw for only like 88 yards. Like, it's yeah, his numbers, they're okay, but they're not like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm watching him play and it just seems like they said, all right, you're the best athlete on the team. Go.
Right.
Rather than like building an offense specifically tailored around what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got a really good running back in Jeremiah Love. They don't have a number one receiver. That's the thing. They don't have they it's receiver by committee for them. They have a pretty good tight end in Mitchell Evans. Their defense, Notre Dame's defense is always elite, like always.
For sure.
So, yeah, no, I mean, obviously, go Irish, please, for the love of God. Don't let me down, Marcus Freeman. I am begging you, dog. Please get it done. Listen, I know you went to Ohio State. I don't care. You don't go there anymore. You're the head coach of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Right.
Bring it home, please. I can't. I need Marcus Freeman to bring it home.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a dog in the fight. Obviously, I was rooting for Texas this season.
For the record, I wanted UT to win, but I thought Ohio State was going to destroy them. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, that's what I said. I don't really have a dog because it's not like there's
– You can watch the game?
Yeah, I'll watch it. I just think it's not like I have hard feelings for them beating Texas because at the end of the day, I think they were the better team.
Yeah, yeah, unfortunately.
And I'm just not a Texas fan like that. So
yeah, I mean, you don't even watch college football like that. So.
Right. So it's not the same.
It's going to be interesting to hear your perspective come draft season.
I don't have the disdain for Ohio State. So I think they are going to win. And I can't say I don't want them to win because, one, they did beat Texas. And, two, one of my best friends, Lance, is an Ohio State fan. And
yeah.
I'm always a fan of my friend's team losing.
I got to remember that next time I see Lance, I'm going to not shake his hand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, gigantic Ohio State.
Hey, all you suck eyes out there, y'all can kick rocks. I hope y'all never win anything. All y'all are soft. You're sorry. I hope y'all get the doors blown off Monday night. Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman, let's go. I can't stand Ohio State. Like, did you see after the flag planting thing we had,
mm-hmm.
did you see that congressman in Ohio tried to pass a law to make it illegal to do that?
Oh, yeah, the plan for that was so soft. Yeah, that was definition
if
of soft.
If that's not the definition of soft, I don't know what is.
We talked about it, that episode after it happened. Yep. If you don't want people celebrating on you playing the flag.
Win the game. Win the game. It's simple that simple. That. Screw Ohio State. I'm not going to say what I want to say on here, but screw Ohio State. Y'all suck it. I hope y'all lose Monday night and for the rest of your lives. I can't stand none of y'all. I said it before, dude. I can marry a Cowboys fan. I cannot marry a Buckeye fan. I can't do it. Can't do it.
Well, Eagles fans, if y'all are looking at me getting some ideas, I would not marry one of you. So
it's funny. Like the way I swear, the way you feel about us is how I feel about Ohio State. Like, it's
everything
funny.
You're saying, I'm like, yeah, that's how I feel.
I can't stand. I'm telling you, bro. Like it's embedded in me. Can't stand Ohio State. On that note, it is a wrap for episode 19.
I'm Eric, your resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And this is Birds at the Rodeo, man. Please catch us on Instagram, TikTok before they ban us.
Yeah, before it's
but still, maybe don't still ban here. Us though, because y'all are low key giving us likes and views, and we love that.
Of course.
Yeah, man. Follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. I'm not gonna call it X.
Yeah, I never do that.
Follow us on YouTube.
Yep.
Like, comment, subscribe.
Yep. Hit the notification.
Hit the notification so you know button. You can find us anywhere. You can find podcasts.
Apple, Spotify. Yep. Doesn't matter.
Literally
man.
Anywhere. No excuses. Until next week. Peace.
Later.